6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to, So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that's alive. Thank you for how you speak to us through it. May we hear now and receive your grace in a double and triple portion. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. We have a lot of things going on at the church right now. You may have noticed that. Trying to find a parking space, people coming and going, and this past Friday, we had a blood drive. Believe it or not, right out in the entryway here. Cots were set up, well, not cots, the things that they put you on to go ahead and give blood, and yours truly gave. Had a little sticker, free t-shirt. There was a brother in Christ who came out at one point, and they were taking it out of this arm, and he says, "This arm looks good too, take another pint." But he was going to say, "Put it in the temples, my forehead, just pump it out all over the place." But as they were getting it prepared, and getting this arm prepared to give blood, and by the way, we had over 30 units. They were expecting 10, so we tripled what they were expecting, which was wonderful. Praise God for that. They were rubbing this, and they were rubbing the area to sterilize it for a full 30 seconds. And she's got to do that. Now, I want you, you know, you think 30 seconds is not much. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. You get the picture, okay? You don't want me to go 1,004, 1,000. You got it. Why would they do that? Well, they want to make sure that it's clean, that it's clear, that it's sterile, to be able to take blood out of it, that there's no infection, that everything goes smoothly. Our lives as Christians cannot be as sterile. In other words, being a Christian means that you're going to be in the muck and mire of life. There's no question about it. The Christian walk oftentimes is very nitty-gritty. And you're going through times that you're not singing "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," but you're singing "Near the Cross." And that's a reality. Not only in Lent, when it's easier to think about the cross and the fact that we're journeying towards it, but each and every day, and for the seasons of our lives. I'm not talking about fall, winter, spring. I've even forgotten about what spring and fall are out here, pretty much winter as well. But those seasons of our lives where we're experiencing God's healing, maybe there's another season of our life where we experience God's strengthening. Maybe there's another season of our life where we're allowed to mourn. God encourages us to mourn, to cry, to weep. There's so many other seasons, aren't there? Maybe you're going through a particular season right now. Know that as you claim a saving relationship with God through the Savior, Jesus Christ, and by His Holy Spirit, God is never going to let you go alone through that season. The scene that's described in the scripture reading this morning is a familiar one, or one part of it is very familiar. In John's gospel, it's a little bit different than the other gospels, because only in John's gospel is the person using this very expensive offering, about ready to do it, use it in a very dramatic way, is she named Mary. And there are other individuals that are participating as well. Lazarus, who's just been risen from the dead. Jesus brought him back from death. Martha, and of course, Jesus himself. And what I mentioned earlier in first service is my senses, and this is my perspective. I don't think that there's anything biblically that specifically points to this, but this is just my feeling, and I appreciate you being open to hearing this, is that Jesus, one at a time, just to be with his friends. Okay? Maybe. These were people who loved him. That is stated biblically, and he loved them. That is a biblical truth. But he wanted to just be with his friends. And have you ever had one of those days when you just wanted to sit someplace safe and just be with your friends and not have to worry about anything else? People were always asking Jesus to do something. Always. He was Jesus. Some saw him as a rabbi, great teacher. Some saw him as a healer. Some saw him even as a magician. I mean, there are a lot of different ways that people saw Jesus. Some understood who this was. God incarnate, the Messiah promised and delivered, and the Savior of the world that had been promised and was now right in their midst. Some, not many. And so Jesus just wanted to be able to rest and relax. And even in wanting to rest, even in just wanting to sit there amongst his friends, something phenomenal happens. Mary starts approaching him with this spikenard. Now, I understand that the fragrance is somewhere between mint and ginseng, kind of, okay? If you can imagine that. But it was a good fragrance. And it was very expensive. Costly materials went into producing this. And so this was a lot of money that she was carrying. And she was carrying it in a vessel, a clay jar, that they didn't have a whole lot of. These were poor people, you see. They didn't have a whole lot. So everything that they had was something that they used an awful lot and they actually needed. It wasn't just something like they were collecting, but they needed these things. And so Mary, slowly but surely, as Jesus is just trying to relax and just simply sitting there, not even, maybe even saying anything, Lazarus was probably still out of it. I mean, have you ever been risen from the dead after 4 days? It would probably take a little bit of time to get your muscles and bones working again. You know, so he's just kind of staring there. Martha's fixing dinner. You know, she's trying, my sister, she's not helping out at all. And Mary, and Jesus is sitting there watching this, taking this all in, and Mary starts walking towards him, drops to her knees, which is a place of humility, breaks the jar, and starts pouring it out over his feet. His feet! Have you ever walked in the desert in sandals? Your feet can get kind of crusty, can't they? Pouring it out over his feet. And then, and this is one thing that I can't show, she washed it with her hair or kind of rubbed it in with her hair. Now, take in that scene just for a second. Everybody stops what they're doing. Judas is also there. Oh, yes, Judas is there. And he's taking it in, and he's the one who really responds. Not in a way of humility, like Mary did, but he's outraged. I think that he was really angry, and he was also frustrated. And he's probably thinking, what does this stupid woman think that she's doing? He doesn't say that to Jesus, but he says, Lord, he's trying to be pious and righteous. We could have used this to help a lot of people. Well, he's right. That probably would have supported a family for an entire year, that what was just poured out. And Jesus says something that has been misinterpreted time and time again. To paraphrase, you're always going to have the poor. You're not always going to have me. He's not saying the poor don't matter. He's not saying that I'm more important than the poor. What he's saying is God has given this woman the right perspective. And indeed, she is preparing me for what is to come. On that. She's preparing me. Mary is offering, in essence, kind of a prophetic witness here, saying, our Lord is going to the cross. He has to be prepared for his burial. Judas misses the point completely. And Judas, let's face it, was not necessarily considerate of the poor. Maybe even could care less. He was interested in his own power. And he equated having great wealth or monetary wealth with power. Now, in one sense, maybe that's true. But in the new economy of the kingdom of God, it isn't. Because often, it's the ones that are poorest, that are dirt poor, that are the greatest witnesses of faith. And are living their faith in the nitty-gritty of life. Who do you think the greatest witness of faith in this story is? Out of the people other than our Savior and God incarnate? Mary. And yet she was humble, she was poor. We understand there's nothing that says that she even said anything. She wasn't trying to gather attention to herself. She wasn't trying to put the spotlight on herself. She simply walked up, was guided to extravagantly give in a way of abundant love, to pour it out literally upon Jesus, upon his feet, to anoint his feet for what was to come. And she did it and didn't care if anybody else noticed. Other people did notice, though, didn't they? In fact, we notice to this very day, years and years and years and years and years later, we still notice that offering, that fragrant, beautiful offering of Mary. And we celebrate her witness of humility and service. If we're honest, and we need to be in church, we'd like to have things neat and tidy at times. I certainly would. And there are times whenever I come into church and I'm thinking about when they have a thing at the bakery where you take a number and then the number comes up about who's next to serve, and just putting that out in the hallway. I'm actually thinking about that possibly. I don't think the number comes up, now serving 39, now serving 40. Come on in. I'm ready. And many of us have those times or those situations in our lives where we're thinking, boy, I don't want another problem. I don't want another challenge. I don't want another difficulty. And yet, this passage reminds us that especially in those days, not that God is causing it, hear that. God's not causing the problems, but whenever we have one thing after another that's coming our way, one challenge after another, and one burden after another to carry, God is not going to let us alone. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that profound? You can hardly believe it, and yet it's true. God is not going to leave you alone. He loves you too much. He cares about you. He wants to be with you on the journey, and in fact, he's even pursuing you today. Now, maybe you are not going to be called to offer such an extravagant gift as Mary did. Maybe. Maybe it's something else that God is putting on your heart, asking you to come forward and anoint the feet of Christ in another way, by something that you say to people, by an action that you take. Maybe it's by something you don't say, or an action that you don't take, that you're anointing the feet of Christ. You see that? In those things, we remember that scene. When we do that, we are following in the footsteps of Mary, our sister in Christ, the one who loved Jesus and who was loved, and we can remember that today as well. We love Jesus, and we are loved even more by him. And so how are you going to be anointing Jesus' feet as we continue in Lent and get closer and closer to Resurrection Day? I'd like you to take a few moments right now as we hear this music playing in the background. And I think you're familiar with this if you've been in worship before. If you haven't been here, just a time to take a few moments simply to be open to God. If there's something you need to lay before God, if there's something you need to offer, or if you simply need to ask God that question, how would you, Heavenly Father, like me to be anointing the feet of your Son, my Savior, in my actions and in my words? God appreciates our humility, and God loves you more than you can imagine.